Hey man, well, while you guys are eating, I'm kind of just go into the teaching this morning. Okay, it's not on. Great. And I have my lovely wife with the microphone, so I have any questions. There we go. Hey man. Well, I want to start off, first of all, by kind of giving a recap of what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the story in Acts chapter 3, and the story is about Peter and John. They're on their way to the temple, and on the way to the temple, when they get to the gates, there's a man that had been put there every single day, most of his life, to beg for money. But he's crippled. He's been crippled all his life, so he has no means other than be put in front of the gates so he can beg for money. And on the way to the temple, Peter and John are stopped by this gentleman that's begging for money. And Peter and John tell them that they don't have money or gold, but what they do have, okay, they're going to give to him, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. And they go ahead and put their hands on this gentleman, and he gets healed. He is able to walk again. And he jumps up and starts praising God. He's running all over the place because, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, you haven't walked all your life, and all of a sudden now you're standing on your own two feet. That's a great miracle. Now, that's how the story is. Now, I kind of asked myself or kind of implemented it to current situation. And I got on here, spiritual life. And I got, as we were all crippled, spiritually crippled at one point in our life, but God has used someone to help us walk again. Now, last week I kind of mentioned how God used Alex to share a word that kind of touched my heart, and I went ahead and rededicated my life to the Lord. Okay? Now, it wasn't, God didn't go ahead and use an evangelist and some, you know, huge, well-known prophet. And, you know, he kept it simple. Kept it very humble. Not to take anything away from Alex, but that's who God chose at that time. Little, quiet Alex. Well, I take that back. Not so quiet. he's Alex, right? To share a word. Excuse me, turn this. So now, last week, I wanted to ask the question, who did God put in your life? Or who did God use in your life to help you walk again? Carmen.
Well, mine is the same as yours, like Alex. Like I said, I went to a quinceañera. I haven't seen her in years, years. I was raised with next door. She was my neighbor. And I known her since she was very, very young. And all of a sudden, all these years have passed, and I ended up going to a quinceañera and with her, because her cousin had a quinceañera. Me and her cousin are best friends. And ended up going and seeing her there. And like I said, she had this glow about her. And I just was like, wow, what is, you, she was happy, and just, you know, I'm like, what is that, you know, and she was the one, and she, like you said, very simple. She didn't go into, you know, well, you know what, you got to do this, she just said, Carmen, all I can say is you got to give it to God, and she just said, come out to the church, and that was just simple like that.
Amen. Anybody else? Roger. Oh, hold on, Roger. It needs to be recorded. We need to hear your...
We're looking for a church. Beth tried many churches, and I followed in her footsteps, and we found this little Southern Baptist church, a little Baptist preacher, and we walked in. He greeted us, welcome to, you know, to God's church and the people, and that was it. That's how we got saved. I mean, this preacher was not like his TV preacher. Preached fire and brimstone, but that brought us to God. That, you know, I mean, brought, you know, just like say, just... He welcomed, the church congregation welcomed us, you know.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else have a quick story of how God used somebody or someone? Esther.
Mine was also Alex. I had been seeking and praying and saying, God, if you're real, you need to show yourself. I kept just saying, you need to show yourself because I can't feel you. I can't see you. I don't know you. I want to change my life. I just kept asking and asking and asking. And one day I was at the mall, and her cousin was there, and she was there. But I saw the cousin first, and he was like, Weta's here. And I was like, oh, she doesn't like me because whatever. He goes, oh, she'll love you now. And I go, why? And he said, because she has God. And I said, really? Well, I need him, so take me to her, you know. And so she came, and when she saw me, she was like, Esther. And other times she had saw me, she would never say hi. But so I was like, oh, I need what you have. I said to her, you know, I need what you have. And she said, come to my church. And I said, okay. And she just kept, I wouldn't make it to church because, of course, I was very in the world. But my desire was to be here, and every weekend when I'd go out, I knew that I was going to be in church. But she just kept on ministering to me, and I would come here, and I would come to the front of the church and sit right where she could see me, and she would minister to me every time I came. So it was, yeah, God is amazing.
Amen. One more, real quick. Anybody else that other than Alex? Bob.
I have one after Bob.
I way, way back before time started, when I first come to the church, Pastor Ed was a pastor at the time. And Pastor John was a deacon in the church, but he was running a home meeting. There was four home meetings. First thing Pastor Ed said to me, you need to get in the home meeting. I said, which one? Because I figured, he said, well, I got this great guy, John Russell. You'll love him. I thought, okay. So I'm thinking, he said, you know, listen to this guy. I want you to, you know, let this guy minister to you. I said, great. So I go to the home meeting and sit there, and I liked it. But the next Sunday, I talked to the pastor. I said, Pastor, you said John Russell, right? Yeah. I said, well, he's nothing like me. And the pastor had looked at me and said, I know. Kind of got the idea, you know. And it's been Pastor John ever since. It's always been there for me. Of course, everyone has, but has raised me up and been like a father in the church to me. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him.
Amen. My wife, I think, has had one to share.
Yeah, I had one person that when we moved here from Chicago, we moved over to 31st Street, Michigan Avenue. And everyone on that block was raised the same way I was raised, which is a house full of, adultery. There was lies. There was spousal abuse. It was just ugly. Every household on the block was the same. But there was one house that, of course, everyone separated themselves from because that house was supposedly the worst family on the block. Well, that's the family that I seem to cling with. And God uses whoever God wants to use. That's the way it works. And in every household, you know, we knew everyone, like I said. It was always the same kind of thing. No one was trying to bring their children up in church. No one was really pushing any issue. You never heard the word Bible. You never heard the word Jesus. You never heard any of that. Even though we were all Catholics and going to church on Sunday. Well, this lady down the street, which is the house I was not supposed to be at all the time, her name was Daisy. I would always go to her because I just started, I was 10 years old, so you get into that age where you kind of need some female guidance. My mom and I, of course, have no kind of relationship, so she was the person for me. And again, God uses who God wants to use. I would go to her, and we would talk, and she would, she would kind of counsel me, kind of talk to me about life and things going on. She had her own family and, like I said, her own issues. But every time I went to her house, she would go to her cabinet that she had in her dining room and pull out her Bible and open it up, sit down, and read a verse or two to me. And then she'd go over certain things with me, and she would tell me, though. She said, well, I don't go to church, Sandra. I go once in a while, but for some reason, every time you come over here, I got to open up my Bible. So it's not just helping you, it's helping me. So this house that I was not supposed to be at, that I should have stayed away from, you know, my mom was always telling me, oh, don't go over there. Everyone on the block was like, don't go over there. You know, they're the worst people. And I'm thinking, that's the only person that's talking to me, not at me. She's talking to me. She's guiding me. So we were friends forever. That's the house that I always clung to it. You know, she was the one. And it's like, you know, you look back because, you know, being here, I look back and I think if it wasn't for Daisy bringing out the Bible, which, like I said, I was going to Catholic church, but we never saw Bibles there. We saw the little hymn books or whatever. If it wasn't for her bringing out the Bible and reading a verse here, reading a verse there, trying to guide me in a good direction, the right direction, where would I be? Because that was the only thing that was constant for me when it came to the Lord. Everything else was, yeah, I went to church on Sunday. But like a lot of Catholics do, you go to church on Sunday. So that was the person for me, Daisy.
Amen. Just like Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and they probably had no idea what God was going to use them for. And at that particular day, they were on their way to prayer to the temple, and God chose that day to use them to heal a man that had been crippled for the rest of his life. The same way God used or put somebody in our lives because spiritually we were crippled, okay? And God put somebody in our lives to help us to get back on track, to help us walk again, to walk away from sin and to start walking into what God's glory is, into what he wants us to do and to get closer to God and draw closer to God every single day. Amen? And I'm sure a lot of people here have got stories to share about how God put somebody in their path, how God's put somebody to speak some words to them that ministered, that changed their life for the rest of their lives. Amen? Now I'm going to get into the teaching for today. And here the first part, and the second part of this is where Peter and John now are with the crippled. He's been healed. God has used them. And the onlookers, the people that were around, didn't quite understand what was going on. Okay? So they go running up to Peter and John, and Peter and John start letting them know what had happened, and most importantly, who did it. I remember last week, and this is all about God. This is all about God doing what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. Amen? While the beggar held onto Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" They didn't understand. They were surprised as to what had happened. Now I put this to our terms nowadays. Why do we get so surprised or shocked when God does something? Did we think he couldn't do it? Seriously. Why do we act so surprised when God does something? You know, it's like, what, we did at one point, did we think, or do we think that he just doesn't have the power to do it? Bible tells us he's able to do everything and anything. He created us. We pray for things, and when we get it, we are shocked. Why? Why are we so shocked? We pray for it. Jesus, I need a new car. Mine's just breaking down. I mean, and we put it into God's hands, and we ask God to give us something. And then when he does, we walk around like deer in headlights. It's like, I can't believe he did this. Why can't you believe he did it? You asked for it. Right? We ask for things, and then when God gives it to us, we act shocked. We act surprised. Why should we?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, you know, you get God does something for you, and he blesses you, and you go, wait a minute, last week I did this, I didn't go to church, I did this, I did that, and why is God being good to me? Well, he's good to you, but then you still have a guilt trip, too.
I guess when I look at it, it's not the thought that God can't do it, because we can do everything, but I guess, will he do it for you? I mean, I guess, you know, because we don't know what God's will is in certain situations, you know, so we can pray for something, but if it's not God's will, you know, which, you know, that's where faith and hope is there, you know. My faith is I know he can do it, and my hope is, will he do it, you know. So I guess that's...
Yeah, amen. And that's true. Again, we pray for something specific, and God said, okay, here it is. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. And then we act surprised that he did it. We shouldn't act surprised. Matthew 18:19. Again, I tell you that if two or more on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am. Okay? So, again, this is all about God. It's all about Jesus. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. These are verses about what God will do. It says, if you ask, you will receive. Amen? Now, that, you know, that's, I prayed on this because, you know, I said, you know, God, I want to know what it is that I have to do. Again, and when you're doing the teaching, you're the person that gets more out of it because you're right there. You're in front of the scriptures. You're getting the teaching right there. You're getting it first. And I always pray that God will speak to me about something that I need to correct either in my life or something that I need to change in my life to draw closer to God. Okay? And it's like there's times in our lives, or at least in my life, where, you know, I'm praying for something, you know, and I'm praying and God, you know, please help me with this or guide me with that. And then he does it. And there's been times, and I'll admit it, that it's like I act a little shocked, you know, like surprised. Why? I'm calling, I'm the one that can do it. Why should I act so surprised? I'm asking the one that can do it to do it. And if it's in his will, he'll do it. Do we agree on that? When it's his will, he's the one that's going to do it. Amen? So, it's like, and why should we act so shocked when God does something? Same thing with healings. You know, we see sometimes we've been either at some seminar, at some retreat or something like that, and we see something like that happen, and we shouldn't act surprised. We shouldn't. We're calling on the one that can do it, to do it. And when he does it, we shouldn't act surprised. We should be thankful and raise our hands and give glory to the one that did it. I mean, is that true?
Yeah.
Amen. I got on here, Matthew 17:20. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's not in us, or it's not about us. It's how God can use us to do something. He's telling us, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, I know that I've had people mention about how small. If I look at this screen, can anybody see this right here? You can see that? Some people can. Compared to this whole screen, that's about the size of a mustard seed. Betty's going, I can't see a thing from back here. But that's how small it is. If you compare it to this whole screen, that's the size of a mustard seed. And the Bible says that if you have this faith of the size of a mustard seed, if you tell this mountain to move from here to there, it will be done. It will be done if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. So that means that if I ask God, and I pray to God, and when I say ask, I mean I'm praying to God, and not so much a need in my life, but Lord, help me or guide me to be able to speak to somebody out there. Help me or guide me to speak to my family, to the ones that are not saved. You know, help me to speak, to give words of encouragement or something to some of my coworkers so they can get to know you. Give me the words. Okay? So then next day when you go to work, all right, and it's the first thing through the door, some guy comes up and says, hey, Brian, you know what? The other day I was thinking, I got a question for you about the Bible. Praise God. That's the first thing. Thank you, Jesus. Not shocked, not surprised, but thank you, Jesus, because you answered my prayer. And then you go ahead into ministering to this person. And it's not about me or you or the words that we can go tell this person. It's what God puts in your heart. It's what God puts in our heart and in our mind, the words to speak to this person. So now the words start penetrating his heart or her heart to where the next day it says, Eddie, you know what, man, bro, can I come talk to you for a second? I had a question about the Bible. I know that the Bible release, there's a young gentleman that comes here from the Bible release. I'm not sure if he's still coming. And this kid, he's got questions. And Pastor Don will ask him a question about the Bible. And he's always got questions. And he grabs the Bible and he looks at the Bible. He reads the Bible. And this is a kid from high school that comes to the Bible release and hears the Word of God through Pastor Don. And it penetrated his heart enough to where he wants to know more. He's like a sponge. What is this, Pastor Don? I was reading the other day and I don't understand what this means. And Pastor Don will go ahead and break it to him. There's been times where the class leaves and he wants to stay behind because he's got more questions. So again, you know, it's about having the faith and believing that when God is going to do something or when we see a miracle, we shouldn't act surprised. It's to glorify God. Because he's the one that can do it. Because it's all about him. It's never about us. It's never about our power. It's never what we can do. Because we can't. Ray can't heal nobody. Sammy can't heal nobody. This is God. Now God can use Sammy to lay hands on somebody and be healed. That's the power of God. That can happen at any time. It's God's power through Sammy that somebody gets healed, just like Peter and John. It's not about Peter and John's power. It's about God's power. I got on here. Peter and John give all the credit to God. This is the second part of verse 12. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? They recognize that it's not, they didn't have nothing to do with it. I said, why do you stare at us? We didn't do anything. God did. Sometimes we want to take credit for what God does. We do things so that we can be seen, to look good, to take the glory, to show off, and never give the glory to God, to the one who deserves it and the one who does it all. Matthew 6:1, be careful, do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And that ministered to me because there's a lot of times that we've seen that out there that you have these mega churches and these evangelists and they're out there and you know and they want to take the credit for all the power of healing that God is doing in some of these places. And you'll see sometimes their flyers and come visit us and see the power of Pastor so-and-so and what he's able to do. That's false advertisement. Yeah, with a small donation. Okay? That's false advertisement. Pastor so-and-so has no power, absolutely no power to do anything. The only one that can is Jesus Christ. And that's why it tells us on there, be careful, okay, not to do things so that man can look at you. Okay, you know what? I'm going to do this favor, or I'm going to give this amount of money, or I'm going to do this, because you want to be seen, because you want to try and take the glory. Bible tells us right there, Matthew 6:1. If you do this, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want his reward. You know, that's fine and dandy. Somebody wants to say, hey, Ray, thank you very much. That's all fine and dandy. Praise God. But what I do it for the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Whatever you do it for the Lord. It says it in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, whatever I do, I want to do it for the Lord. I don't want to do it for my brothers and sisters. And that's fine and dandy. And that's great. I want to be there for my brothers and sisters all the time. And whatever I can do. But when I do that, I better make sure I check myself to know that I got to give the glory to God. Because everything I have, he gave to me. Everything that I am is because of him. I used to be crippled at one point, spiritually crippled for a long time in my life. And because of his love, his mercy, spiritually, now I'm walking. And there's sometimes I'm running, like this morning. I'm trying to run around to get up here. Okay. The last part here, Acts 3:16. And I got it, and I wrote my own notes actually late last night. Who did they give the glory to? By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. They give all the honor and all the glory to God. They don't take credit for it because they know that they have no power to do something. Okay? They humble themselves. They know. They accepted the fact. They know for a fact that the person that gave them the power to do something was Jesus Christ. We can't do anything on our own. When we go pray for somebody, okay, we pray that God can use us. When we go minister to somebody, I don't want to turn around and say, you know what, if it wasn't for me, that person wouldn't be in church. Again, that's false advertisement. Because it wasn't about you. It's never about me. It's never what Ray can do or how Ray did it. Because I guarantee you, the soon as we start doing that, it's going to fall apart. The Bible says you have no reward in heaven. I don't want to go around saying and thinking that it's because of me. This is all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And then God, Jesus himself says, it's not my Father. He always gives it to his Father. Everything that he does, he gives it to his Father. He gives us the example. Because everything that we do, we should give it to Jesus. We should give it to our Father. Hey, Ray, the other day, bro, no, it wasn't me. It was God, it was Jesus in me. That's who the world needs to see, Jesus in us. It's not about Ray or anybody. It's about him. And when we do something, when God uses us, we need to humble ourselves and give him the glory. Now, I passed out. It's a song that, while I was doing the teaching, this song really ministered to me and touched me. And I'm passing it out, my wife's passing it out, the lyrics. And I want you to look at these lyrics. Okay? And I'm actually going to play the song. And it's a very powerful song. I really like the song, but I like the lyrics. And this is the person that knew and accepted who has the power and who we need to give the glory to. Amen?
Glorious, holy, and righteous, victorious, conqueror, and triumphant.
Amen. All right, we'll just bow our heads real quick and close up in prayer. Dear God, I thank you right now for everything that you have done for us here, Heavenly Father. And dear God, I just thank you for everybody that's here this morning to hear your word, dear God. And I thank you for the word that you share with us, and I ask that it penetrate our hearts, dear God, that we recognize that you are the mighty and powerful God, Heavenly Father. You are able and able to do everything, anything. And we pray that you give us the words, dear God, that the Holy Spirit just come upon us this morning, dear God, in every single day to guide us and everything that you want us to do. And we thank you for everything, and we pray that this morning, dear God, will be a day for us to remember, Heavenly Father, that you're the Holy Spirit this morning, dear God, just descend upon us. And the service, dear God, we put everything in your hands, because everything is about you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.